take your Pew Bibles or your New International Versions and open up to the Gospel of John chapter 3. For our scripture lesson today, we're going to read the first 21 verses. Gospel of John chapter 3. John records this. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly and that he has and what he has done has been done through God. And may the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word today. Thank you, Jerry. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask once again, you'd please open up to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. I realize I'm a little short on time here, and so I will try to move quickly. But I want us to examine for a few moments the 16th verse of the third chapter, because it gives an explanation of why Jesus Christ came to this earth. It gives an explanation as to why Jesus Christ was willing to hang on a cross. It gives an explanation why that God was at work even before the foundation of the world, because he was searching for us and he was loving us. That 16th verse says, and you can probably all quote it, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." You see, Jesus Christ came to this earth because man was lost. Man becomes lost when sin becomes a part of his existence. Sin becomes a part of man's existence when he willfully disobeys God and does something that he knows not right. He knows it beyond the shadow of a doubt. He knows it's just not right. But sin then becomes a motivating force and a driving force. You know, as I was considering that type of a thing, I was reflecting back in my own life and remembering how I had walked away from God. You know, as a little baby, even though I wasn't raised in a Christian home, as a little baby, I was in grace. Had I died as a little baby, I'd have gone to heaven. But as I grew up, I began to do things that I knew were wrong. And in the process of doing things that I knew were wrong, I became cold on the inside, not even realizing why. And in that coldness, there was a question that I could never answer if someone were to ever ask me. And unfortunately, in my formative years, no one ever asked because the church at that time simply didn't care. And they weren't concerned about the lost. They were more concerned about whether or not they could meet their bills than they were about the people around them that were lost. I pray that that never becomes the motivating force of this church. I pray that this church always has the motivation to reach out to those who don't know Jesus Christ and to introduce them and to help them to find life. But that question that I was never able, never asked to me, and I was never able to really ascertain what was what, that question was this: if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? I didn't know. And you know, I think there's a lot of people that don't know the answer to that. There's a lot of people in this world that they're trying to do the best they can and trying to be good people, but they don't have the assurance in their heart that if they were to die, they'd go to heaven. You know, not having that answer is the answer. Because it means if you don't have that answer definitively, you wouldn't go to heaven. Because God does not want to leave us in a state of confusion and a state of questioning. That's why he invested the very blood of his own son. That's why he invested everything for our salvation. He wants us to know where we would spend eternity. He doesn't want us to question that because he loves us too much. There was a guy named Nicodemus that came to him. We read about him in this particular chapter. And this guy was a teacher. He was a ruler of the Jews. I mean, he was a big wig in the church, if you will. Nicodemus saw Jesus, and he was quite impressed because he saw the things that Jesus was able to do. And he thought, man, I have got to check this guy out. There's something different about him. There is something unique about him. And so he goes to him and he says, "Teacher, how is it that you do these amazing things? You had to have come from God." Jesus never even flinches at the question. He says, "Nicodemus, don't be amazed. you must be born again. Well, that just produces a few more questions in Nicodemus. Because he's going, I'm not getting it. I can't enter my mother's womb a second time and be born, can I? Jesus goes, nope. You've been born of the flesh. That's obvious. You see that. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You can touch that. You can feel that. But Nicodemus, it's not enough to be born of the flesh. You must be born of the Spirit as well. The very essence of who you are has to change. Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must have a spiritual birth. Oh. Why? The rest of the New Testament is dedicated to the answering of the question, why? Where would I go if I were to die right now? And God, why do you love me enough to want me to be a part of your family? You know, many people today are angry at God. They're angry at God because they view him as the giant killjoy in the sky. I mean, they would rather have their drugs than to have peace of mind. I mean, they would rather have their alcohol than to have a night where they can just sleep peacefully. They would rather have their immoral relationships and not have anybody say, you know, that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. Than to have the forgiveness of God and the cleansing of their heart. And so they view God as this great big killjoy that's just sitting on the throne with a big rubber mallet. And how he just wants to hammer them down. And so they have the whole wrong concept of who God is. God doesn't sit with a hammer. He saves with a spirit. God doesn't reach down to kill joy. He reaches down to bring joy. He doesn't come to drive us. He comes to lead us into faith, into truth, into righteousness, so that when this life is done, we are entered into his kingdom and celebrate it. Stop and think about that. We'll be able to know that we have a life forever that will never suffer pain, will never again get sick. We'll be able to have such perfection that everything will be perfect and wonderful and amazing forever. You know, as I was thinking about some of these things, I began to realize that there comes a point in life when the next thing that you're looking towards is death. Not a great way to spend your day thinking. But you know, it doesn't have to be a dreaded thing. It doesn't have to be a fear-filled moment. Because God has promised us that if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, if we are willing to receive Him, if we are willing to repent of our sins and come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we're willing to acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, if we are willing to come before Him and acknowledge that we have sinned and we've hurt Him, if we are willing to come before Him and ask for His forgiveness and His cleansing, if we are willing to come before Him and pledge ourselves to Him, we know then without a shadow of a doubt that our transition of closing our eyes in death here is just the opening of our eyes in the presence of God. The Apostle Paul was talking about this very thing. He was ready to be offered up. He knew what was coming. He knew that there was going to be a trial. He knew that he was going to be found guilty. He knew that they were going to kill him. He knew all of this stuff, and so he was talking about his transition. And he said this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So he said, whether I go or whether I stay, it's all glory. It's all good. If I stay, it's better here because I can continue on and being a witness. But if I go, it's better for me because I go into the presence of the Lord forever. For Paul, death was not a fear-filled transition. It was instead a cause for celebration. Many people fear death because they're not right with God. It's very simple to get right with God and to know that if your life were to end today, you would go into the presence of the Lord. It's very simple. I want to explain it to you very briefly in the next 3 minutes. The first thing is, you must admit that you have sinned and that sin has separated you from God. A sin is you've done something in your life that you know was wrong. But you did it anyhow. It may have been a lie. It may have been stealing. It may have been judging someone else. It may have been, who knows, whatever. But you knew it was wrong. But you did it anyhow. That was a sin. The second thing is you need to realize then that that sin separates you from God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Then Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, and the wages of sin is death. The word death there means separation. As physically we die, we are separated from this life. When spiritually we die, we are separated from God. It's that simple. And it's a wage, it's something we've earned when we've sinned. We have earned separation from God. For the wages of death, or the wages of sin, is death, separation. Now here's the good news. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And what that verse is saying, it's saying, you know what? If you've sinned in your life, you're separated from God. If you were to die, you'd go to hell. You would go to a lake of fire. But God doesn't want you to do that. And so He offers to you a gift, the free gift. A gift that you can't buy, a gift that you can't earn. But it's a free gift. And that free gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ. But you've got to reach out and take it. Here's how you reach out and take it. Admit you've sinned before God. Say, I'm sorry. Come before Him and say, look, Lord, I've sinned. I know I've sinned. I now realize that my sin separates me from You, and I ask for Your forgiveness. Please forgive me. Please come into my life and help me to live for You. It's very simple. And here's the key. I hereby repent of my sin. Repentance means I'm so sorry for the things I've done that I turn my back on sin and follow You in righteousness. Please forgive me. Come into my life. Give me strength to repent, to turn my back on sin, so that I can live for You. Jesus, I want to live for You because I want to know that if I were to die today, I'd go to Your heaven. If you're here today and you don't know if you were to die today, if you'd go to heaven, then I can tell you this, you're not going to heaven. And today would be the perfect time to take care of that. So I'm going to ask you to stand. Before we sing, I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes. Before we sing. We're going to sing in a moment. But I want to ask you this question. If you were to die right now, do you have the assurance in your heart, you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you would go to heaven? If you can't say, yes, I know, then I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and then put it back down, because I'm going to pray for you. Would you please, if you do not have the assurance you'd go to heaven, would you please raise your hand and put it back down? Thank you. I see that hand. There, 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 there. Hands all over. Any others? Any others? There's another. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Any others? Hands raised all over the congregation. Now, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask God to move you. I'm going to ask Him to move you away from where you are. I'm going to ask Him to bring you to this altar so that you can know that your sins have been forgiven. So let's have a word of prayer. And then we're going to sing just very briefly. And we're going to give you the opportunity to come and to meet Jesus. We'd love to introduce you to Jesus today. So let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, You have seen every hand that's raised. And even more importantly, You have seen every heart that's present. Lord, I sense down deep in my spirit that there are some here today that You would love to bring into Your kingdom. And so, Lord, I'm going to ask You to give them the strength to step forward. Help them to give themselves over to You totally and completely, without any questions, without any reserves, so that they can have the gift of eternal life, that free gift that You reach out and offer. And so, Father, speak. Draw, woo them, bring them to Yourself. I can't do it. No one else can do it but you can. And so, Father, make it clear to them what needs to happen. And we'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise and glory, for it's in your awesome and incredible name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to please take your hymnals at this moment. Open up to number 326. We're only going to sing two verses. And if God is speaking to you and today you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to ask you to step out of where you're at, come here to this altar, kneel down. Someone, either myself or someone that we've got trained, will come and speak with you and introduce you to Jesus Christ. So we invite you to come. We're going to sing verses 2 and 3. Number 2 and 3. Amen. Teresa, would you please come? We're going to close our eyes again and bow our heads. We're going to have a word of prayer for these who have come forward. And we want them to today to give their hearts and their lives over to Jesus Christ. Folks, please understand, there's no need for anyone to leave this service today without the assurance that they have eternal life. And so please don't leave without that assurance that Jesus Christ is your Savior. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And if anyone else wants to step out while we're praying, you feel free to do that. Let's ask God to bless us today. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for these who have come forward today. And Lord, I lift them both up before you and pray that your Holy Spirit would fill them with love, would so fill them with glory and grace, that they would not leave this place without the assurance in their hearts that they're your children. And so, Lord, please, reach down, touch them, help them, give them strength, give them wisdom. Father, save their souls, steal them away from the enemy. And Father, for those who raised their hands and didn't step forward, I pray that you would not stop speaking to them. But instead, Lord, you would continue to speak to them. And Father, for those who may be digging in their heels and saying, I'm not going to submit to this, Lord, may you so reveal yourself to them that you might be able to break down their resistance. Now, Father, watch over us the remainder of this day. Bring us back together tonight when we can worship you and praise you. Give us hope and help and strength. And we'll give you praise. For it's in your awesome and incredible name we pray and ask all of these things. Amen.